الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم وسئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الأضحية ما هذه الأضاحي يا رسول الله فقال سنة أبيكم إبراهيم alayhi salatu wassalam. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, every aspect of our deen has been explained to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In these Mubarak days that we are going through, we are passing through, known as the season of Hajj, the months of Hajj, and coming up very close to the days of Hajj, these are those Mubarak days and months which even pre-Islam were regarded as sacred. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes mention, inna iddata shuhuri inda Allah ithna ashara shahran fi kitabillah yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard minha arba'atun hurum. That the months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts are 12, and of the 12 they are 4 that are sacred. That means in ayyam jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, the people at that time also would revere these months. They would regard them to be sacred to such an extent that is written in the kitabs that if tribes were at war and if it was announced that now these months, one of these months has commenced, of course it is Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. Three are in succession, in order. Dhul-Qa'dah, the month that we are in. And after about 2 weeks, inshallah, will be Dhul-Hijjah. And thereafter, Muharram. And after a few months is Rajab. So if it was announced that the month Dhul-Qa'dah, the moon has been sighted, or the month of Rajab, moon has been sighted, then it was a moment where everyone would accept ceasefire, everyone would hold back, all wars would come to an abrupt end, and they would say, let this Mubarak month, sacred month pass, and then we would resume our war. These months, Dhul-Hijjah, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, takes us to the lessons of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions regarding him in the Quran Sharif that we tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in many, many ways. And Allah says, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, all these tests Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam passed them successfully. It is difficult, of course, to cover all the tests or to go through everyone. But let us look into the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and maybe one or two lessons that we can hold on to, inshallah. It will be beneficial for us in this world and the akhirat as well. One important lesson that we learned from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was the lesson of submission. Taslim, Islam, our religion, Islam, the religion of Islam, which means submission. Submission means that we wholeheartedly, totally, unconditionally submit to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes reference to this in the 17th sipara, the last ayat of that sipara of the Jews. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِي وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلْ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجْ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That this deen, deen-e-Islam, deen religion that you are following, in reality, the religion that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That he has called you Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the title of Muslims, that this ummah will be called Muslimin. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's every step of his life, we'll find this quality of submission, that there was no hesitation, there was no thinking twice or doubting or asking for some other opinion, but rather when the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was given, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wholeheartedly accepted. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ, when his Rabb told him to surrender, subjugate yourself, humble yourself, put yourself before Allah. He said, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that I submit myself wholeheartedly, totally to Rabbul Alameen. Now, beloved friends, if we can just take this one sentence of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and apply it to our daily lives, every one of us, at the various stages and tests that come throughout our life, then inshallah it will be easy for us to practice on deen and to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. We may be in our businesses, there may be an opportunity for us to do something, some type of deal, some type of business that is in the total disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it's doubtful, maybe it's totally haram. At that juncture, if we apply this and say, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, there are two choices here. The choice of رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choice the shaitan is enticing me towards. The choice of the nafs and shaitan against the command of Allah, in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these two choices are at my disposal. It is very, very easy. I am at this crossroad. What do I do? What do I choose? So, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I will surrender wholeheartedly to Rabbul Alameen, to the choice of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person may walk in the street, someone or something haram, and he has the opportunity of looking at that haram, and on the other hand, the command of Allah is when you see the haram, any non-mahram, when you see, then to lower your gaze, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغُضُّنَّ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِنَّ, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely clear, that lower your gaze, do not look. Now the two choices, one is he's tempted to look, and one is the command of Allah not to look. At that point, what does man do? To remind ourselves at that point as well, that أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I am submitting myself to Rabbul Alameen, I will not disobey my Rabbul Alameen. Wherever I go, wherever I may be, Rabbul Alameen I cannot hide away from. So this is the first lesson of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that wholeheartedly, against and contrary to, at times, contrary to what our intellect, our logic may even tell us. Our brains, our minds, our heart may tell us something else. But the command of Rabbul Alameen is something else. At that juncture, to obey Rabbul Alameen is submitting, is the essence of Islam, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our intellect, our mind will tell us that lend a person some money, or go to the bank and borrow some money, and you'll pay it on interest, or you lend someone some money, and you will benefit from that loan by charging that person interest at a certain rate or whatever, that I'm lending you this 100,000 today, when you will return it after 5 months, after 1 year, then this is how much I want back, you can pay it off slowly, whatever it is, but you are accepting more than what you loaned that person. So our logic will tell us there's nothing wrong, we are lending a person, we're getting benefit out of it. But Rabbul Alameen says that this is riba, this is totally haram, this is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is war, waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at this juncture also, to submit totally to Rabbul Alameen and say, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I will not go like how the whole world is going in that direction, even though it makes sense to me. Even though my mind is telling me that if I invest in this scheme, and this scheme will give me so much of returns through this and this and this, but I know that that scheme is haram, is dealing in haram, or is not a permissible scheme that has been set up, then I will withhold my funds, and I will look for a halal opportunity, and I will invest in a halal opportunity. So the first lesson of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, to wholeheartedly submit. Sometimes, beloved friends, of our social life, that we are at a crossroad in our homes, the wife may say, our only daughter, our only son, or last son, or first son getting married, and we need to have a wedding in this way, such a wedding, which the whole town must talk about, must become something of the, on everyone's tongue. So we want to do something unique, we want to do something different. And the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that keep the nikah simple, keep the wedding simple. The wife is putting pressure, the family members are putting pressure, we are under pressure. But the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we do? At times we say, never mind, we're just doing it. I don't want to do it, but I'm just doing it to please my wife. I'm just doing it to please my family. I'm just doing it to please my near and dear ones. Like one person said very beautifully, we want to please everyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make everyone happy but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In essence, we are told to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ridwanu min Allah. But now we put Allah's pleasure one side. We put Allah's command one side. We put the Sharia one side. We put deen one side. And now we venture in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where unnecessary expenses, at times taking loans, at times just to make it, just for show, just to become popular, just to become known. Na'uzubillah, and a person undertakes a journey and he is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many, many ways where a person is faced with this challenge. We should at once, at all times, try to keep the sentence of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that aslamtu li rabbil alameen. Oh Allah, I'm submitting to your command. I don't want to go in any other direction. Your command means the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tariqah, the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second lesson that teaches us is the next. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَرَى لَكُمُ الدِّينِ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made a wasiyat, made a bequest, gave some advice to his sons, and also Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam also made similar, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala after this mentions the advice of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam as well. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that what was the advice? If today, in today's time, our time, if we have to give our children advice, what advice would we give? Like parting advice, wasiyat that we would say, parting advice, something that they would hold on to, they would appreciate. Our minds would race towards the worldly things, the dunya things, the material things, that this shop, this job, this business, make sure you run it like this, make sure this happens. You'll get a, mashallah, few others who would worry about the deen as well. But what was the lesson that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the advice that he parted to his sons? That he said, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينِ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already chosen a deen for you, a religion for you, a way of life for you. There is no need for you to turn for direction, for help, for assistance, for guidance in any other way. Deen Islam, deen is there, the religion of Allah, the obedience of Allah, the obedience of the Nabi of the time, that is sufficient for you. Hold on to that, make an effort to preserve this till your dying day, till the last moments of your life. That فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That death must come to you in this condition, that you are totally submissive to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your life, and even when you are leaving this world also, you are happy that you yourself are pleased that you have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now you are ready to leave this world. Now this brings us to the point about our children. What effort are we making on our families? That if we cannot say it in a form of our final advices or last will or parting advices or bequests or whatever advices that a person would give at the end of his life, but at least throughout our life now, we can encourage our children, encourage our wives to practice upon deen, to bring the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, to bring Allah consciousness in their lives. If you look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's incident, then when he was commanded to slaughter his child, to slaughter his son, his only son whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him at a very, very ripe age. Now, some ulama explained 85, 86 years or whatever, Allahu alam, different narrations got different. But at that time, when the son is most beloved, the only successor to him, the next person who will take on after him, person looks forward to children and not having children for so many years and now getting a child, that bond of attachment that is there, that love that is there, that unity that is there, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made such a tarbiyat on that child, such upbringing, such nurturing on that child, that that child grew up also in the total obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even before he became baligh, he was submitting totally to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam narrates the dream, the inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara, I'm seeing a dream, I'm slaughtering you, what is your opinion, what do you have to say, what do you feel about this dream? So if he was a child, and if his effort was on his upbringing, on his tarbiyat, on nurturing him in that environment, if effort was not made, then what would he answer? He would say that, oh father, this is just a dream. You get adghas wa ahlam, you know, people have some weird dreams. So just ignore it, don't worry about it. But what was his? He says, ya abati, oh my beloved father, if al ma tu'mar, that a child, but he understand that he's not just a child, understand he's a son of a Nabi whose tarbiyat was made. So his understanding is now different. So what does he say? That, oh my beloved father, your dream is no ordinary dream. You are the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You communicate, you are the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahi comes unto you. What you are seeing in a dream, in reality is wahi. So to say, he is seeing this. So he said, oh my beloved father, do as you have been commanded, inshallah, I'll be from the patient ones. Satyaliduni, inshallah, min as-sabirin. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala continued explaining that incident. But the point here is, that effort was made on the son, on the child. The child was prepared from a young age to be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, one is, mashallah, we may be making our children hufaz, making them ulama. But what effort are we making on the iman of our children? That many a times we see in the masjids, wherever we go, in our masjid also, and other masjids also, that mashallah, many, many youngsters will be here for Fajr Salah. Why do you hear so many children going for Fajr Salah? Mashallah, is not, is it because the fathers and the parents made effort on them? So mashallah, it's in them that I got to wake up for my Salah. Or is it because they are coming for Fajr Salah? But come holidays, come Sundays, come public days, are that same amount of children in the masjid, or they're not in the children? Are they not in the masjid? So now we have to think that if my son is not coming every day to the masjid, that means I am not making the correct effort on his iman. His iman has to be of that level where at every juncture he must be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must know the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only because he has to go to school, then he wakes up early, or he has to go to madrasa, that's why he wakes up early. But that effort has to be made. That effort on iman has to be made from the home. That effort cannot be left to the madrasas and the 1 hour or 2 hour maktab session that we have in our masjids, in our madrasas all over the country. That is, by the way, extra to bring our children to some system. But the tarbiyat starts, beloved friends, from the time the child is born. How we make the child dress, what kind of clothing, what kind of toys we give the child, what kind of environment we take the children in. All that has an effect on the child, and that's how the child becomes molded and adapted. So my beloved friends, these two advices, if we can hold on to. The first is, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen, to submit totally to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, that we make correct tarbiyat of our children and give them good advices again and again. Speak to them about deen, have religious Islamic ta'lim in our homes, read from the fadail kitabs in our homes, teach our children some masail in our homes. Don't only leave it to the maktabs and the madrasas, because their time in the maktab and madrasas is very limited. And many of us know, when a child reaches a certain age also, then we are pulling out the children from the madrasa, we want to take them out from the maktabs also. So it is our duty, it is not the duty. The ustad is not responsible on the day of qiyamah that how much of deen you taught this particular child. The parent, the father and mother will be questioned regarding the tarbiyat of their children. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the ability that we make sahih qadr, we truly value, truly appreciate our children as an amanat, and we also impart on them good advices. And the best way, beloved friends, the best way to bring our children to deen is we ourselves to be punctual upon deen. If we ourselves, a particular about salah, Quran tilawah, zikr, dua, sunnah in our lives, we will find this will rub off on our children as well. But if we show a don't care attitude towards this, sometimes we come for salah, sometimes we don't come for salah, sometimes we are day in the masjid early, sometimes we are late, sometimes all together we miss it, then this rubs off on our children as well. They will not do what we tell them to do, but they will do what they see us doing. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, grant us all the ability to take the true lessons from the lives of Salam, of Rasulullah Sallam, Sayyidina Ibrahim and Salatu Wasalam, and all the Ambiyah Salatu Wasalam. And mashallah, Qurbani is coming closer. And as we'll get to Qurbani coming closer, inshallah, we will hear more talks about the actual Qurbani, the animal and Eid, etc. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.